It's hard being a mouth breather. I would know. That seems high. 321.5.
See, listener, Jason Wheeler, a.k.a. Jason Wheatley, does a lot of talking to himself before we even begin. Can't imagine what he does at the house when no one's around.
I do.
That's entire conversation.
I do the same thing when they're around as when there's no one. No one else is talking to me. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself.
You ready to start?
I think I am.
Welcome to Yolitics, the home of cold beer and hot takes on Texas politics.
Hey there. Welcome to another episode of Yolitics. I'm really excited about this one. This is the one that I really look forward to every year because this topic just ticks me off.
Yes.
I understand it. I get it. But it just really chaps my back end to have to deal with this every year.
It's a podcast. You can use more forceful language than that.
Yeah, I know. But my boss occasionally listens to this. And, you know, she heard one time when I said, you know, we're going to have a little splash of whiskey or scotch instead. And she had, yeah, I got an email. She said, absolutely not.
You got a hand
we're
slap.
Doing beer. We're sticking with beer. So what are you drinking today, Wheeler?
I am drinking an old one today. I went to the back of the refrigerator.
A lighter? What do you have?
Well, it's a Revolver Blood and Honey, and it's in a bottle this time, not a can, because I had to go to the back of the refrigerator because I ran out for this one. Well, this thing's been in there for probably about 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's the born on date on that one, man?
I think it's so old.
Best used by 2009.
I think it's so old that has now wiped off. You know, it's one of those. But you know, it'll suffice for a podcast. Who knows? Maybe it's like wine. You know, maybe it's gotten better with age. We don't know. I doubt it.
Go ahead and take a swig. Let me see this.
All right.
Go ahead
and, yeah, let's see how sour the face is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, goes down just like vinegar. No, you know what? It's flat. It tastes a little bit flat. It's got bubbles, but it's tasting flat.
Well, I'm glad you're prepared for the podcast today because I have a lot of questions. I have a fresh beer.
What do you have in there? Yo, yours is fresh, you say.
It is. It's paleta de mango.
Mango. If you're gonna say paleta so well, you might as well say mango correctly.
Well, I defer all of my translation in Spanish to you since you say coyote so well.
Well, I'm sure you know what a paleta. I'm sure that you know what a paleta de mango is, right?
Yeah, I do. I had to ask our Spanish speaking producers.
Oh my gosh, that's such an easy one. Hey, haven't you ever seen somebody pushing the little paletas cart around?
Yeah, actually, I bought some paletas from my kids this weekend walking around a lake.
You just didn't know what you were buying.
No, I call them popsicles.
Popsicles.
unfortunately, it's Spanish is not a language I know very well. So, but that would make sense why it has the popsicle on the top.
Yes.
Of it. This is from Rahr and Sons Brewing Company. Rahr and Sons is Fort Worth, right?
Yes. And that sounds really good. That sounds really good and really fresh. I'll just I'll keep enjoying my flat beer over here on the other side.
Wow, that is good.
So I was expecting a little bit more forceful language from you today, Jason. Maybe after you have that paleta de mango, you'll let it out. Because we're talking about the appraisals again. They're going out again. It's that season. You know, we go through this every year.
Stop saying appraisals, though. This is property taxes.
No. That's where the Central Appraisal District will, like, scream bloody murder. Because these are just the people who are going, hey, we're governed by a set of facts. We got to go out and appraise houses. That's what we're told to do. Here's how we do it. It's your local government entities that set the tax rate that goes with that appraisal to determine your property taxes. So it's the next step in the process that gets really tricky when they set those tax rates. Right now, they're just appraising the value of a home. And your taxing entity could reduce the tax rate later so that taxes don't go up. But we know doesn't happen.
Listen, you're a native Texan.
I am.
You're a native Texan. I'm a transplant like all the original Texans are. And we know that does not happen.
It doesn't. It rarely happens.
Yeah. And so I'm sure you got the letter in the mail telling you how much your estimated taxes will be.
I haven't gotten mine yet.
You haven't gotten
yours? A lot of people haven't because a lot of these may not go out until, you know, sometime in May. And then generally you have about a month after that to protest it.
Well, so that's what this episode is going to be all about.
So I put it out to the big counties and just asked them, like, hey, what are your numbers looking like right now? How many people stayed the same from last year? How many went down in appraised value, and how many went up? Most of them say, it's too early for us to tell you that. But Collin County, which is just due north of Dallas, it's the home of the Cowboys now, they sent me some info on this. For 2021, they did 288,000 appraisals so far, okay? Maybe 9, 10, 12, 13, 15,000 of those went down. But you look at the increases, and that accounts for, let's see, 150, 200, 200, about 240,000 of the 288,000 went up. Some of them substantially. The biggest group of them, 105,000 of them went up 5 to 10% in value this year. 50,000 of them went up by more than 10%. So you're talking about substantial changes in the valuation of your house, which again, you multiply that valuation times the tax rate, and now you're looking at higher property taxes. They say, though, that this is inescapable because of what our real estate market here in Texas has been doing, and that has been absolutely exploding. I just saw the latest numbers from the Texas A&M Research Center. A shout out to them because they keep so much data on hand. The median price for a house right now in Texas is $321,500. Mm. That's the median price. Mm. So as that just keeps going up and up and up, so does your valuation and then eventually your property taxes.
So the whole system is broken, in my opinion. I mean, it's just this is unsustainable.
Right.
It's outrageous. Every time I get a chance to talk to a state leader, I tell them I don't share personal views very often, but this is insane. I have a homestead exemption. If you live in an apartment, you are paying property taxes. Mm-hmm. It's rolled into your rent. If you wonder why your rent is going
That's
up.
Right.
This year, it's because of property taxes on that piece of dirt that your apartment is on. Just went up as well, too. So something has to be done. But in this episode, we're going to talk about what in the world you can do. If you haven't received the letter like Wheeler hasn't, or if you have, like I have, and your property taxes, again, your estimation, as Wheeler likes to point out, whether it went up or not. Mine did go up. So Collin County had 5% of them that went down. 83% of the property values went up. When the property values go up, I guarantee you, your taxes are going to go up, period, end of story. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody else says.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty, so, that's for sure.
No, it's not going to be pretty at all. So we have back on the line with us Chandler Crouch. He is a realtor in Tarrant County. But more than that, he's become like super famous.
He has.
Not because of Yolitics. I mean, he should have because of Yolitics, but not just because of Yolitics. But because he has been given solid advice for free to anyone who wants to fight their appraisals.
I've talked to this guy so many times over the years. And the weird thing is, Jason, you know, just when you think you've got this process figured out, every time I talk to Chandler, I learn something new and go, let me put that in my back pocket for the next time I decide to protest my appraisal here. So if you've even thought about maybe trying to possibly protest, but you just don't know what to do or where to start or how it works, listen to the rest of this podcast because this guy's just full of nuggets.
So Chandler, I have my pen and pad out now here too. Let's start with the basic question. What do I need to do now?
It depends on which county you live in. There are slightly different processes for each county, but the number one thing that you should do is just take your value notice, turn it over, fill the thing out and mail it in. And that satisfies the legal requirement of filing a protest. Then the next step is to complete the protest. And so you want to try to talk to the appraisal district to see if you can work out some kind of settlement informally, because a lot of times they're a lot more friendly in the informal phase. Mm-hmm. You can go in before your hearing and just talk to them and say, hey, can you guys reduce this? And you can even ask them for tips. Say, hey, well, I understand you can't reduce it. What tips do you have for me on how I can prepare for this hearing? And they will actually help give you tips. That's how I've learned. The appraisal district has been incredibly helpful to me to learn the system like that.
Yeah, don't I need evidence to take in there to show why my house is not worth what the county says it is?
Yep, you got it. There is a defensive approach and an offensive approach that I recommend taking. The defensive side is to ask the appraisal district for the evidence that they're going to use against you. And you get that evidence in advance. You can see which properties they're comparing against yours. You can drive around and go look at those properties, take pictures of them, and bring reasoning to the table, documented, like photos of the houses saying, hey, this house doesn't compare to mine. You shouldn't be comparing it. Shouldn't be on here. That's the defensive side. On the offensive side, you want to try to argue that the condition of your property isn't what they are saying it is. So document condition issues with photos or get estimates from contractors showing that your house is in need of repair, or and also get comparable sales from a realtor, just showing what other types of sales there that you would suggest they use as evidence to support a lower valuation for your home.
You know, this sounds like a lot of work, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's your money. You know what I mean? And you might be saving yourself a huge chunk of money. So the work is well worth it. So Jason, get to work there at your house.
But you know, it's your money. It's almost like right on the money.
It's almost like right on the money, but not quite. Not quite. But, you know, a lot of this stuff can be done online, too. And, you know, the Central Appraisal District is not the big bad guy. I mean, it's not the big bad wolf. You can work with these people. And a lot of times, a lot of this is seamless and it's online. And Chandler, I think a lot of people are so intimidated by this process that they just keep on, you know, just getting these increases shoved down their throats. They don't do anything about it. It seems too hard to fight. But you've seen it over and over again. People are successful a lot.
Absolutely. And in my view, I believe that the appraisal district is almost looking for an excuse to give you a reduction. They want you to be out of their life and happy and moving on. They just have rules to follow and they're human. You know, they going in and being mad and crying, it doesn't really give them the evidence that they need to agree to a value so that you can get out of their hair. So I recommend you go in and you treat them nice and you, say nice things to them, but you also bring them the evidence that they need to agree to a reduction. But you're right. I mean, the whole problem with the system is it's complicated. There's no great way to learn how to do this. And it takes a lot of time to figure it out. So, you know, just walking in and talking to them is a great first start.
How bad do you think it's going to be this year after the pandemic kind of slowed things down last year?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. Right now, I can say that the folks that we've represented haven't seen as much of an increase as I thought that they were going to see. Only about a third of people actually had values that increased, which was shocking to me. But the people that haven't protested have seen values increase significantly. And so the reason for that is because there's a new law that was passed last legislative session that created a higher bar for the burden of proof for the appraisal district to raise values if you have won a protest recently. So, you know, it's kind of mixed, but I was fearing the worst, and it wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Well, that new law then is one more reason that you should protest it, because then they have a harder time continuing to raise it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't make me look as good, because when you have a astronomical value, then I can go in and really chop the value in half or do something really spectacular. It makes me look good, but I don't care. It's not about me. It's about, you know, helping people save money. And I'm actually really relieved to see that people aren't being put in quite as bad of a position as they could have been. Although it's hard to say anything positive in the midst of all this, because when you get a property tax value notice and you know that your value, that the amount of money you're actually going to pay is just off the charts, then it's difficult to celebrate. It's just that it isn't as bad as it could be for most people.
Well, Chandler, help us save money, man. I've been looking forward to this podcast, because I picked your brain last year in this podcast, and here we are again. And my value went up like $1,000, like 10%, I think, something like that. It's ridiculous. But I'm curious specifically about the winter storm. Can I lost landscaping. Fortunately, I didn't lose, any sheetrock because of burst pipes. But I, you know, there are plenty of people out there who did. Can you deduct any of those, or try to deduct any of those?
Absolutely.
To get that written off?
Yep, absolutely. There are two different avenues you can go down. The first avenue would be the best for you, but as far as a property tax reduction, but you'd have to be in a pretty bad situation to qualify. So Governor Abbott passed a bill or whatever. I get, maybe it was an executive order. I'm not sure. But it opened up a property, a natural disaster exemption. Mm-hmm. No, that was last legislative session. Anyway, so if you've had damage to your property that totals 15% or more, mm-hmm. Affecting your property value on the level of 15% or more, then you qualify for this natural disaster exemption. And mm-hmm. you just prove it the same way you would prove the condition issues if you were protesting under a normal basis. But the deadline to get that filed is the end of May. And so if that's,
but that's a high bar, 15%.
It is. That's quite a bit. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's you don't want to be in that position, but if you are, it's good that it's here.
Yeah, it's a high bar unless you had pipes bursting your ceiling and then you think, oh, I can hit that 15% because the damage is everywhere. Yeah. Chandler, for people who aren't familiar with you, you're a realtor. You're in Tarrant County, Fort Worth. And basically for several years now, you have been doing this service and you've gone viral all over the internet telling people how to protest their property tax appraisals. And you've actually been doing this thing where you have a website set up. It's almost automatic. People put their information in and you let them know, you help them through the process of protesting their valuation. And I'm curious, how many of those did you do last year?
Last year was right at 20,000. And it's too much. I'm happy to help and going viral. You know, it's really cool to have a video that gets watched a bunch of times, but I just wish that the issue wasn't here. I'd rather go viral for, goofy cat videos or something like that. It's just, but I'm happy to help. The system is messed up. The system's broken. It needs to change. And so I'm actually trying to solve the whole problem because I'd rather not be doing this. I'd rather be selling more houses and helping in other ways.
Because it's just the same old dance every year.
Every year. Let's talk about the system for a moment because you were down in Austin several days ago testifying in support of a House bill. It's House Bill 2311 for you legislative folks who want to follow along. And the idea for this one is to reduce the potential appraisal increase to just 5% if you have a homestead exemption on your property and no more than 10% annually. Still, those numbers are insane. I mean, 5% is great, but 10% annually? I mean, come on.
Well, so it would be 5% if you have a homestead exemption, and that is annually. And it would be 10% if you don't have a homestead exemption.
Okay.
So, it's still a huge number. I've talked to a lot of people since then that says we're shooting too high for that. 5 is too much. We should shoot for 3% or 2% or 0. I mean, 0 would be ideal.
Right.
But we're still going to have to pay taxes. That tax revenue doesn't just disappear. That there's a need for it that has to be fulfilled, and it's going to come out of your pocket, whether you like it or not. I just feel like a change like that would help make sure that who's paying is a little bit more fair. And so that's the idea.
Let me ask you this, Chandler. You were testifying in support of this bill. It's introduced mm-hmm. by Republicans, but it's still just sitting in committee, and the clock is ticking on the legislative session, like a month left. Is this going to move?
You know, Representative Krause is the representative that wrote the bill, and honestly, this is an issue that is bipartisan. We had just as many Democrats in the room supporting it as Republicans. It doesn't matter. But he was optimistic about the ability to get out of the committee, but the legislative process has a lot of hurdles I'm not real optimistic that it's going to get passed, unfortunately, but at least we're getting the conversation started. We're going to be in a worse position next legislative session. Well, I bet we'll get something done then, but who knows? I mean, Representative Krause is doing a great job and he's getting support behind different bills. And so I'm optimistic that something might happen, but I hope it's soon.
It's tough to get movement on things like this, but you know what helps is when enough people who are, let's say, listening to this podcast, pick up their phones and get on their emails and start giving messages to their representatives there in Austin. Just to back up for a second here, because I know so many people have moved here to Texas in the past several years. That's been a huge story about how many, people have been relocating. Chandler, how important is it for people to get that homestead exemption? If you don't know what that is, and you've been in your house since January 1st of this year, you qualify for it, and it's huge.
Absolutely. It's huge. Without the homestead exemption, your property tax value can double. and it's perfectly legal. So you have to get this protection in place to make sure that you and your family are protected, and it limits the increase to 10% per year, and there are other benefits as well. So it's vital to get that in place.
And just to be clear here, let's say you're in your home since January 1st of this year. You didn't fill that out yet. You haven't gotten the homestead exemption. It's still not too late to get the homestead exemption and have it applied to this year. In fact, I've heard of instances where if you sweet talk the people at the Central Appraisal District enough, they'll make it retroactive even beyond that for, let's say, last year. That's actually in the statutes. So, yep. You know, you have to make the request, though.
That's exactly right. And the appraisal district, everything that they do is based off of the policies and procedures and regulations that they have to follow. And so sometimes they'll get a bad rap for you know, implementing certain policies, but it's not really their responsibility. But you're right. It's in the statute that if you file a homestead exemption right now saying that you lived in the home as your primary residence for the past couple of years, then it can be retroactively applied, and you can actually get a check in the mail from the tax assessor. I've seen it a number of times, and man, it's you can turn this season into good news. It's almost like, you know, you get a check in the mail from your tax guy. It's that's a change that you know, it'd be awesome.
Chandler, the other question I have too, I have a whole list of questions. When Jason set this podcast up, it's like, dude, I have a question after question here. But here's one that probably a lot of us are in. My neighbor just sold their house in this red hot real estate market, and they sold it for almost twice the amount that I purchased mine for just 5 years ago. How much is that going to impact my taxes?
Well, it depends on when they sold it, but in the scheme of things, that's what's driving our values from climbing so much, is people coming in and buying houses and paying out the nose. And now we have this supply issue. So, you know, home pricing is just a function of supply and demand. And right now we have low supply and demand is high, so it's forcing prices up. So this year, the value notice you get this year is based on home sales from January 1st to 2020 through just about March 31st of 2021. Okay. So that's the window that they're primarily looking at. They can go outside of that if they don't have enough evidence or enough sales, but that's what they're looking at. And so that's a tip you can give to your realtor if you're trying to get some comps from realtors. Say, hey, don't just give me the past 30 days or 6 months. Go all the way back to January 1st, 2020. That's something that most people don't know. But yeah, if those sales are on the books that show that somebody came and paid some astronomical price for a house, then you better believe the appraisal district is using that as evidence against you. And you know what? They don't, it's because it's a fact. It's a data point, and you have to contend with that. You have to figure out how you're going to address that or cancel it out with some opposing data. And that's what makes this a challenging process as well.
Yeah, that's where it really comes back to bite us, that this real estate market is so hot, is that it starts to cost you like this. Chandler, this is, I mean, let's call this what it is. But, you know, a lot of people who've just recently moved here may not be aware of this, but this is the biggest hidden tax increase every year, over and over and over again. Yes, your taxing entity says, hey, we're leaving the tax rate the same. We haven't raised the tax rate at all. You don't need to raise the tax rate because the value on my property is going up so much every year that you're still making more even if you leave the tax rate the same, because it all comes down to the appraised value times the tax rate equals how much you pay in property taxes. So if one of those things is going way up, you don't need to adjust the tax rate, and you're still making hand over fist money here off of me.
Yep. I could talk for about an hour solid about what you just said. It just drives me crazy. Right now, we're in this election period where I'm seeing city council people or school board people or whoever, they're mayor candidates talking about property taxes, and they're using these political tricks, these political games to try and confuse people to make us think that they've done something good for property taxes. But me and you know, and everybody listening to us knows, whenever they write their monthly payment check or whenever they write the check to pay their taxes, that it keeps going up and up and up. And the politicians are just playing games. They're passing the buck and they're not taking responsibility. But what you said is absolutely true. The equation for property taxes is a little bit more complex than just your property value or just the tax rate. It's rate times value equals your tax bill. Now, here's the thing that nobody wants to own right now in this political season. You've got, just imagine the equation. value times rate equals bill. Okay. On the right side of the equation, the bill side is where you can place a lot of the responsibility. The bill side is determined before the tax rate is determined. So what the bill is, and the person in charge, the entity in charge of the bill side, the amount that the equation has to equal is the taxing entity itself. So it's the cities and the school districts. They come up with their budget, and then they have to figure out what math problem, what value, and what rate they need to charge in order to satisfy that amount.
So it's backwards.
It's backwards. And it all comes down to the spending that occurs in your school district, in your county, and in your city. That's what drives this whole process. If they didn't spend as much money, the fact that your property's going up in value wouldn't be a negative. It would just be a positive. And so that's where the majority of the blame can be held. And it just drives me crazy to hear the games. And so you struck a nerve there.
Are you gonna run for office?
Yeah. Jeez. Come on.
Chandler. I don't want to.
You're gonna run for office. Are you gonna run for office?
No, I'm not. Hey, I'm the mayor of Tarrant County. I'm going to carve out my own position.
Exactly. So what should I be doing then? Should I call my school board rep and say, hey, are you how much are you fighting to lower or at least maintain what the existing budget is?
Yep, that's exactly right. So there are, the whole property tax issue, there are problems on about four different levels, and I can go through each of them. But the one we're talking about right now is at the city or at the school board. Every year they have a budget meeting. It's in October-ish.
Right.
And you show up to that meeting, and you don't have to know a whole lot. You can just say, guys, you're spending too much money. I need you to figure out how to cut something out of this budget. It's unacceptable. My property taxes are going up too much. And that's show up in force. Get your neighbors and show up to those meetings. And that's the best thing that you can do to keep the property taxes down in general. Let me pause for a second and mention there is a new website that you'll find on your property value notice that's I've got a notice right over here. If you bear with me, I can grab it real quick.
Yeah, grab it.
Right, we want to hear this.
While you get it, we're going to play one of Wheeler's TikTok videos.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't think the world's ready for that yet.
I can't wait. That's worth this whole thing just to see what's going on. All right. So if you go to tarranttaxinfo.com, that's where you'll find the Tarrant County information. They list all sorts of good stuff on there. Dallas County has their own website. It's probably DallasTaxInfo.com. I'm really not sure. I don't want to say a web address without knowing for sure. But
what is there county, though?
It's a new website that is mandated by law for the appraisal district to maintain. All the taxing entities, the cities and the schools, they report information to it. And one of the pieces of information that they report to it is when those budget meetings are and exactly how much each taxing entity is sticking in their pocket out of your property tax bill. And
a lot of people don't go to the budget meetings, though. Yeah. You'll see two or three people in attendance at these budget meetings when the budget's being passed and millions of dollars are being spent and nobody's speaking up going, wait. I pay taxes. This is too much.
And it's like a shell game. You have the politicians wanting they jingle the keys over here and say, hey, look over here at your property value. It's their problem. And then they'll go have their budget meeting a few months later. And then the appraisal district is saying, hey, you guys got to go talk to them. And it's just a mess. That's why it's four different levels that you have issues with. And that's just two of them. So
one of our colleagues the other day gave you a call, Kevin Reese at WFAA, and did a quick little news story. But I think you mentioned to him that people are calling you pretty emotional this year when they're opening their envelopes, huh?
Absolutely. We get people just today, somebody crying, calling on the phone crying. I mean, just they have no answers. They have no idea. They know that they're going to get stuck with a huge tax bill, and they know they can't afford it because they're paying the maximum that they could pay right now. Mm. And really, it's heartbreaking. It's tragic. And man, I mean, this is Yolitics. This is all about Texas, right? And we're independent people and have an independent kind of, power to the citizen, kind of vibe here. And when you have this, We live in a place where we're supposed to be able to pursue life, liberty, and property, but the government's taxing people out of their homes. There's a crisis, and it's something that it's just tragic to watch. So,
Another real estate buddy of mine, Ben Lauer in mm-hmm. Dallas, I know you've worked with him, and he actually does these free protests on the Dallas side in Dallas County. He just recounted a story to me the other day about a woman who lived in his neighborhood who was an elderly woman, had lived in that house since the 60s, had paid it off long ago. And she ended up having to move because her tax bill was more than the payment for her initial mortgage each month was way back when. She was priced out of her home. The taxes priced her out of her home. But that's probably not an unusual story to you.
It's not. Here's what happens. Somebody buys a house within their means. They make a conservative decision to buy a house. Then people come in and buy houses around them. They fix them up and they sell them for top dollar. And so the person that's staying there, their home is their tax value is based on the sales of all the houses around them. And so their tax bill just goes up and up and up, and they get taxed out of their home. And so it's a problem. I mean, we all want to see our neighborhoods increase in value. We want to see we want to have great schools. We want to have all the good things that come with living in a nice area. We just want to be able to afford the house that we bought and not get forced out of it by taxes.
So Chandler, what's the legislative solution then? Because, there aren't a lot of pots to go from to keep the, governments running here. Is it, no one wants an income tax? Consumption tax, property tax, there aren't a lot of places to go, really, are there?
It's tough to come up with a solution. I've got all sorts of ideas. I wrote about...
Lay them on us.
Well, I've got... this year, I had a video that I put out. It's called 14 Tax Warts That Need to Be Removed or something like that.
I love it.
And what it is just an inside look at the different problems in the taxing system from a very technical standpoint, understanding the property tax code and where the issues are, instead of just having an emotional response and saying it's all the appraisal district's fault or it's all the politician's fault or something like that, just looking at where the sticking points are and trying to figure out what levers need to be pulled to make a bigger difference. And I can give you a bunch of different ideas, but I'll say this. The bills that are filed this year that Representative Krause, he consulted with our office and he went and wrote bills based on the suggestions in that video. One of them improves how the board of directors at the appraisal district are voted in. Right now, the system to vote in the board of directors at the appraisal district is a rigged voting system. It's messed up. And this would straighten that out. One bill would. The other bill that we just talked about would be to cap the annual increase at 5% per year for homesteads, or cap it at 10% per year if it doesn't have a homestead. That would be a major solution. And then the final bill is a bill that affects something that nobody knows about. There are the state comptroller does an audit on the appraisal district on a routine basis. And the audit basically incentivizes and forces the appraisal district to artificially inflate values. And it's because they have like that lady who bought her house a long time ago, the example we were using. What happens is that audit requires the value of her home to be within 3% of the homes that recently sold. Okay, that's not fair at all. And the appraisal district has, if they're doing their job and obeying the law, they have to increase the value of that lady's home, and it's not right. One of the bills would fix that. And I mean, I could just go into detail, but if those levers were pulled and those bills got passed, I believe that the property tax system that we have right now would be able to be sustainable long-term. I have a moral objection to property taxes, but...
You and me both, man.
Yeah, but I don't know. I have not heard a good solution that I could stand behind. I like the idea of a consumption tax until I start thinking about what kind of consequences we're going to have with that. I mean, an income tax actually makes sense, but there's no way I would support that because that's one thing that makes Texas great. And so you know, it's just a tough spot for now. I just pay attention to the thing that I really know and trying to solve the problems that I can really understand. It's not theoretical. These are sticking points that need to be smoothed out. And so those are the changes that I'm pushing for.
Yeah. There's another bill at the ledge that you left out. I think it's Representative Wright behind this one, which would essentially abolish the property tax system and create a consumption tax. I don't know if that has a snowball's chance in hell of being passed here in Texas. It sounds, you know, like it might be asking too much of legislators. I want to ask you real quick. A lot of people are in these neighborhoods like Jason Whiteley, you know, in these Tony neighborhoods where houses are selling for a mint right now. And, you know, and you like it, you know, you like it in a lot of ways because you go, hey, you know what? One day I'm going to pick up roots too. And I want to sell for at least what that sold for, if not more. And there are people who say, oh, no, I don't want to protest my valuation here because then it's going to make my home less valuable. It's two separate systems. The market determines how much your home is going to sell for, not the tax appraiser.
That's exactly right. I've got a video on that too. And I can actually make the case where protesting your property tax value can help you sell your house for more. Because whenever a buyer comes in, if they're financing the home, then their loan officer is going to determine their debt to income ratio. It's just a fancy word for, you know, just figuring out how much they can afford to pay for the house. And if they don't have to pay as much in property tax, then they can afford more. So no appraiser on earth, no realtor on earth is going to see the appraisal district valuation number as accurate enough to base any decision on. And I mean, look at us, we're sitting here talking about how flawed that number is, you know, it already. And yeah, I mean, it just, it doesn't play a role in a real estate transaction at all. So you want your value to go up. You just don't want to have to pay taxes on it.
Thing that kills me, Chandler, is that, you know, I have, like a lot of people, I presume, I have no intention of leaving my house. So when they talk about, you know, they say that, well, this is what your house is worth if you were to sell it. Well, I'm not going to sell it. Mm-hmm. I'm not moving. And I want it to be based on what my mortgage is and what I just paid for it a few years ago. I'm not moving. So, you know, that drives me crazy. That's always the, you know, the argument. I understand that. But the one thing that I did, we may have discussed last year that I think you may have told me about this, Chandler, is I went back into my to fight my property tax 1 year. I went back into my inspection report. And, you know, the inspectors find everything that's wrong. So you may not, you know, you may walk right by something that your wife wants painted or, you know, whatever. But the inspection report has all kinds of little problems wrong with your house. Now, you know, probably not Wheeler's house. He has an entire staff of people who take care of his house.
Yeah, me and me.
Yeah, but that's a good place to look. It was for me, at least, on little things that need to be done that you can show as evidence. And I use that inspection report and attached, you know, a screenshot of those things that need to be fixed as evidence. So that was one thing that I did. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of other ideas.
Yeah. Well, the inspection report, I mean, it might cost you $500 to get an inspection, and you just have to weigh that against how much money you might end up saving by property condition issues. I would say if you're walking through your home and you're seeing issues, then it's probably worth your time to document those issues. And if you're not seeing them, then you probably don't have anything major enough that an inspector is going to find that the appraisal district would see as legitimate to fix. And then still, the appraisal district is going to need to assign a value to all the condition issues that you're presenting to them. And you need to help give them some data to assign the value that you want. So the inspection report itself won't do the trick. I think if you have that on hand, if you purchased your house recently, especially within the past maybe 2 years or so, then you might as well provide that. But I wouldn't stop there. And I don't know that I would go out and get one unless you were pretty certain that you were going to recoup that money.
Yeah, so this was from the sale of my house that I still had, the purchase of my house, rather. But you're saying that in addition to that, that I still have sitting around that I paid $300 for when I bought the house, I should also have maybe a roofer say, well, it would cost you X amount to replace the roof that you need on your house. I need that additional evidence is what you're saying, huh?
Yep, you got it. Now, I would say this. If you recently purchased your house, then the best evidence you can cough up would be the settlement statement from your closing showing what you bought the house for. And then actually the repair issues won't bear any weight at all, because they're going to say, well, you bought the house in that condition. Therefore, we have an established value on what your home would be, you know, in the condition that you're presenting. So send that in. And that's usually an easy win. But yeah, if you haven't purchased your house recently, then I highly recommend calling contractors, and some of them have a trip charge that they'll charge. And some of them won't. Electrician's going to probably charge you $50. A plumber will charge you a little something. Roofer will go out there for free. Foundation company will go out for free. Get that stuff. But then, this is where the system really has a problem, because good people don't want to call out a roofer if they actually have no intentions of getting a roof replaced. Mm. And so, it's a tough thing. I would just be straight up with the roofer right up front and just say, hey, here's what I'm doing. If you find enough issues with the roof, and then, maybe you can talk me into a new one, maybe if insurance will cover it or something like that. But my true intention is just to get this for my tax appraisal. And a lot of them will probably still be happy to help.
Now, if you did get something fixed this year, though, Chandler, you may not necessarily want to pass that along to them. Hey, I upgraded my water heater died and it was terrible, but I upgraded that and I had to spend the money on that, because that's going to actually make the case against you.
It just depends on when the repair was done. Okay. The appraisal district is looking at what the condition of the property was in on January 1st, 2021. Mm. Okay? Okay. So if you got a repair on January 2nd or 3rd or 4th or 5th or March, you can bring that to the appraisal district and say, hey, look, I just completed this repair. Therefore, the issue existed on January 1st.
Okay.
Now, if you have a paid invoice showing that the repair was completed before January 1st, then that's going to work against you, and you don't want to show them that.
Okay. Smart advice there. Chandler, we could talk to you for hours. We're probably going to have you back at some point. And, one of these days, I didn't know that you were the legislative whisperer these days and that lawmakers were actually coming in and saying, hey, what can we do to help fix this? And that you're kind of, feeding them information as to what might help. But the day that you decide that you're going to do it yourself and run for office, you know where to announce it.
Awesome. Well, you got it. I don't see that happening anytime soon. I just know this. I've been down to Austin. I went down there and testified twice this year already. I've just got to say, just having seen this with my own two eyes, I can speak for Representative Krause, Matt Krause. He works so hard, and they get paid like $7,000 a year. Mm. And that guy, he was asking me for a meeting. He says, hey, look, you're protesting for 20,000 people. I want to know what the issues are. I told him the issues, and he says, hey, let's pick these three things, because those seem like the small hinge that swings the big door. We'll file those bills. And he just put me in touch with his legislative council, and he just said, look, just we need to solve the problems. It's not a conservative or liberal thing. It's a human thing. He's fighting for everybody no matter what. And I just can't, I'm so appreciative to be able to try and help solve the problem, because we need a solution. And if I ever lose my mind and run for office, I'll call you.
and again, hit us up. But did you say that you were representing like 20,000 people? Have you filed protests on behalf of that many?
Yep, it was about 20,000 this year. We've already had, I don't know, 1,700 sign up new. Gosh. And so with the way the numbers are going, I think we'll blow past 25,000. It might be 30. I don't know. It's crazy.
Because we're early in the season here. And I hate to tell you this, Chandler, but we are including a link in the description of this podcast so that, for people who are in, you have to be in Tarrant County for Chandler to help you out here. We'll also include a link for Ben Lauer, who's doing this in Dallas County. Beyond that, I don't know who does this in different counties, at least not for free.
Well, I can tell you the people that do it for free tend to pick up the phone and call me, and I pay attention. I'm always on social media looking to see what's going on out there. I've only seen like three realtors actually doing as much. A lot of realtors will provide comps. And so your realtor is one of your best assets in this whole thing. But if you're not in Tarrant County, and you're not in Dallas County, or even if you are and for whatever reason, you don't want to hire me or whatever, hire me for free, right? There are property tax consultants out there that do this for a living. They charge a fee, but I don't care. This is not about the cost of protesting. It's about making sure that you're doing the best thing you can for your family and making sure you're not getting overtaxed. And it's a valuable thing. If you have to pay a little something to get the right kind of help, it's well worth it.
And Chandler, a lot of them don't collect unless they actually get something back for you. They take it out of the money that they get back for you, for you essentially. So,
yep.
You know, it's kind of a, you know, why not?
Yeah. And you just have to look at all the different services that people provide. There's a guy in Collin County that kind of has a do-it-yourself option. There are people that have a contingency fee where if you don't pay unless they save you something, and then there's flat fee options. And you just have to be careful because, first of all, I don't know that I would. Well, I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody. I would say it depends on your situation. If you think that you are grossly overvalued, I don't think I would call one of the contingency people. I'd probably call a flat fee person because that contingency fee ends up being really, really expensive in the end. Now, if you think you don't stand a snowball's chance of getting a reduction, then it's probably makes more sense to call the contingency person because you might not want to pay the flat fee. So it just depends on your unique situation. If you're in Tarrant County, then I've got video. Well, the videos I've got will teach you how to do this on your own without anybody.
Yep.
And you are probably, if you're going to take the time to figure this out on your own, then you stand to get a better reduction than anybody because I'm never going to go drive up and down your streets, taking photos and doing ridiculous work like that. I mean, that's what it takes to be really successful.
Nobody will ever work harder for you than you will work for yourself. So ChandlerCrouch.com, we're going to put that down in the description as well. So for people who just want to educate and look at your videos and figure out how to do this on their own, they can do that.
You got
Chandler,
it.
I think since we've been talking to you, you've probably gotten like 10,000 more emails there. So we should probably let you go.
Appreciate it. Hey, thank you guys for covering this. If y'all ever have questions, happy to help.
Thanks, man. So, Wheeler, one of my favorite police shows or TV shows of all time, besides WFAA News, is also Peter Falk in Columbo, and his famous line was just one more thing.
Yeah.
And that's like you in a podcast, man. Now, I could talk to Chandler all day long, but you know, I said goodbye like 10 minutes ago.
I know. And just, well, yeah. You know, like I said,
you had like five more questions.
Like I said, though, you just, with this guy, if you can just keep him talking for like another 90 seconds, some other little golden nugget is going to fall out of his mouth and you're going to go, I can use that. Yeah. That might actually save me some money. So I do hope that everybody got some good info there. I hope that, like Whiteley, who's always prepared here, that you actually had like a notepad out and were jotting down some notes as we went along. Because, like, there it is. You really do have one. I don't. I keep it all stored right up here. And that's what's wrong in my life.
You get more rest than I do, though, man.
Yeah. Well, that's your way of saying that I am lazy and don't get up on time. And we always end up recording these late. I know what you meant. But so hopefully that helps you out. You know, again, if you're in Tarrant County specifically, that's where Chandler Crouch is located. He actually does this, you know, sort of automated setup here where he'll help you through the protest process. If you're in Tarrant County, if you're in Dallas County, again, Ben Lauer is doing it there. It's just hard to come by this in some counties, Jason. And in some cases, you do have to pay somebody or, you know, maybe agree to give them a portion of what they save you. But sometimes, you know, that can be worthwhile, too.
Yeah, you know, my biggest takeaway from Chandler this time was the same one last time, and that is you can, when you roll the sheet over on the back and you you know, file the protest, you get to know what they are using against you to raise the value of your house. Mm-hmm. So that's important. Ask them, hey, what are you going to use against me? Which house sales are you using against me?
Right.
And then I'm going to go find, you know, two or three other house sales that were a hell of a lot cheaper than that.
Right.
I took Chandler's advice last year and my property taxes didn't go up. So I hope the Central Appraisal District isn't listening to this episode of Y'all Ticks. I know they probably tune in all the time, but
If they are,
don't hold this against
me. If they are, I hope they remember in the beginning how I explained that they're not the big bad guy here.
My name is Jason Wheatley. so if you need to know more,
it's funny. Sometimes it's just a matter of even just proving to them that, hey, what you have represented to you on paper there, those are all of the knockdowns that happened in my neighborhood. And these beautiful, little McMansions have been built up. Mine is not one of those. Let me show you the difference. Here's slide A and here's slide B. So,
Well, yours is, but mine isn't.
Well, yeah, I'm speaking hypothetically, of course.
Yeah, right.
But I think that Chandler's probably right. These people, they deal with hundreds of thousands of protests, especially in the big counties. I think he's probably right. They would love to get you out of their hair. So if you can give them, they're almost looking for a reason to go, yeah, you're right here. Now go on your way. Please leave us alone,
Yeah. And the other thing that I did that was super helpful, I think Chandler may have mentioned this to us last year when we talked to him. But regardless of if you bought your house in the last 5 years, go get your appraisal report that was done. It's probably sitting in your email box. That's where mine was. You paid $300 for it in closing. You may not realize that. But it's not the appraisal. It's the inspection report.
Yeah.
The inspection report. And the inspection report has all those little, 40 things that's wrong with your house that you need to fix. Get that information and use that. And that was very helpful for me. My house is in the lower area in the street. So, a lot of the water comes to my house. I use that to knock some of the valuation off my house. There are tools out there that you don't realize.
Yeah.
Unless your house was handed down to you like Wheeler's was, through the generations. The estate.
Well,
that.
I don't
you
think
may not have it then, right, Jason?
I don't think you're going to dodge the bullet again this year because I've heard of many of our podcasts getting ruined by trucks, construction trucks that are backing up behind you there. I've heard nail guns going off constantly. Obviously, you're in the hot zip code, so you're just going to deal
Atmos
with it.
Doesn't use nail guns to replace the
I hope not.
To replace the pipes in the street.
All right. So hopefully you got something out of this. Hopefully it helps you out. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment for us and be sure to subscribe to the podcast as well. By the way, down in the description, we got a lot of extra links and stuff for you there, especially to Chandler Crouch. It's got a lot of good stuff there that can help to educate you even further if you're taking this on yourself.
Yeah. And one other thing, too, if you've been successful in lowering the valuation of your home and essentially your property taxes, let us know how.
Yeah.
And for the time being, you can, do it on Twitter. You can find me at Jason Whiteley. Wheeler's is Jason at Jason Wheeler TV. We need to start a new one that's at Jason Wheatley.
Yeah, just to combine us. We do need to start that.
Yeah. We should go ahead and grab that now before it gets, stolen.
Kind of a rogue account. That would be great. But yeah, let us know. let us know, especially if you've got some kind of hack that has really worked for you that you haven't heard us say or Chandler say. It'd be good to be able to pass this stuff around. Yeah. It's sort of democratizing the process of protesting this.
No doubt. Hey, that does it for this episode, and we want to hear from you on this one especially. So make sure you keep us in mind if you don't mind as well too. We'll see you again next week. Until then, cheers.